Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliences. Plus, get 3 Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast and another installment of our Bible on Business series. I pray that this series has been blessing you as it's been blessing me. I mean, I have so many episodes, and as I study the word for myself, as I go through various things in my own journey, in my own business, as I'm studying the word, God is just revealing so much. And I'm just excited because there are a lot of resources out there for Christian business owners. Christian entrepreneurship, Christian content creation is extremely popular right now. And what the Lord is doing through this series is He wants you to understand that His word is enough. He wants you to see it as valuable through every aspect of your life, not just for healing, not just for life, not just for relationships, not just for insert whatever subject matter here, but it's also applicable to business, and not just in a way to where He wants to prosper your business and give you financial increase, but also in operations and mindset and how you need to handle and steward what He's blessed you with. And I know it's really easy to go and buy the next business book. It's easy to subscribe to whatever business leader that you enjoy, but God's word is sufficient here too. And I believe through this series, He is just revealing in so many ways. I mean, from the shepherding episode from last week where we talked about the similarities between marketing and evangelism, everything that you need is in the word. So if this series is blessing you, leave us a 5-star review. I would love to hear some of your takeaways and what you're doing in your business. Today, the title of today's episode is Business Financial Relief. And the Lord took me to 2 Kings 4:1-7. And I believe that this text provides a very practical solution for any of you that may find yourself in a financial bind in your business. Before we get there, I'm having an open house this week for my business, Anchored Media, where I'll be talking about my Purpose to Podcast program. This program is a mentorship program where I want to hold the hand of guide and pour into those who God has called to this podcasting lane. I know the lane is saturated. I know that it's tough and it can be intimidating with all the information out there. But one thing I've learned from being in this space for so long is that most of the work happens off the microphone. Most of the things that you're going to have to deal with and overcome has nothing to do with analytics, has nothing to do with microphones and tech. What God has called us to do in this space, a lot of what we're going to be dealing with is warfare. A lot of battles we're going to have to overcome are internal. And so with this program, my focus is discipleship. And of course, I've been in this space for a long time. I've helped hundreds of podcasts launch and grow. So the information and how to apply it is a given. I'm going to give you that to where you'll see those tangible results in your podcast. But the results that we're focusing on even more than that is your growth as a leader in this space. So if you feel led to work with me with your podcast, if you want the tools that you need to have a successful show, but have a successful show that's also pleasing in the Lord's sight, then click the link in the show notes, come to the open house. I will play some testimonials so you'll hear from the women who've been impacted by the program up until this point. And if we're a good fit, I'll be happy to welcome you in, and I'm excited about what God's going to do with you and your journey. So whether you have a show that's out already or not, join us this week for the open house, and I look forward to seeing you there. All right. This week, we are diving into 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. To give you a little context, 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7 is a part of a larger narrative about the miracles performed by Elisha, who's a prophet in Israel and the successor to Elijah. This particular story focuses on Elisha's encounter with the widow of one of the prophets. So this woman, she was in a desperate situation. Her husband had passed. He had debts. And the people he owed were threatening to take her sons as slaves to pay off this debt. And so Elisha performed this miracle intervention by giving her these divine instructions that not only solved the problem she was having right then and there of paying off her debts and protecting her sons, but also ensured their future provision. So let's read, and I'll be reading from the New International Version, the NIV. Starting at verse 1, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she says, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to the side." She left him, shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, Elisha, and he said, "Go and sell the olive oil and pay your debts. You and your son can live off of what is left." I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lord has us looking at this right now. We're in a place, for those of us who are in the United States, we are in a place in the economy where it's rough out here. There are a lot of businesses in debt, to where different, like the SBA and government organizations, have provided funding for relief, but a lot of businesses are still not in a place to be able to pay it back. Groceries are expensive. Everything out here is just simply expensive. I've seen a post on Facebook where there was somebody who had the same order that they had from Walmart. So they went, and the order in, let's say, a few years ago was $175. They reordered those exact same items, and it came up to like $400. So overall, whether it's in your business life or your personal life, we're just seeing that things are generally a bit more tight. And again, I believe that the Lord has us studying this in particular right now, because there are many who are in the same space that this woman was in, where you are in a desperate space. You are in a place where you really need God to move. And you've been praying and asking for relief. You've been praying and asking for God to intervene. You've been balancing being grateful while also believing in God for more. So there are many of you, this episode is an answer prayer. And I believe through this text, God is going to open your eyes to the ways in which he's provided for you that you may be overlooking. So let's break this down a bit. I believe that there are four steps that are here in this scripture that you need to apply to your situation right now in order to see the same breakthrough that she did, where her debts were paid off and she had excess to be able to live off of what was left. So the first thing I want to pull out here is that she sought wise counsel. When you are in a position of financial strain, it can be so overwhelming. It can cause so much anxiety. It can cause so much stress. It can cause so much frustration. You got the people emailing you constantly. You got the credit bureaus emailing you, telling you that you're behind. You have your phone ringing off the hook of people trying to collect their debts. You're getting letters in the mail. Everywhere you look, people are coming to collect what is owed to them. And that provides such a level of stress, external stress, internal stress. You looking at your bank account and it ain't adding up to what you owe. It creates anxiety. It creates so many heightened emotions. And when that happens, the emotions are so loud that all the noise, internal and external, is so loud, you're unable to hear from God. And for some of us, we may go to our word. So we're reading about provision and we're finding encouragement in it. But we're finding certain instructions where we're finding the importance of course, tithing, the importance of sowing, all of these financial management tools that is in the word. But what we're a lot of times not fully able to find and internalize is a step-by-step solution to get us out of our current situation. And again, I believe that's what God is highlighting to us today. And I believe the first step is seeking wise counsel, is because sometimes you do need that physical person to talk to. Because, yeah, you may be praying to God, but because all these emotions and this noise is happening, you're not fully hearing from him or able to trust what you're hearing. Because what you want to hear is, hey, I'm going to pay off all these debts tomorrow. That's what you want to hear. I don't know about y'all, but that's what I want to hear. I want to open my email and see that Joe was able to finally eliminate these student loans. That's what I want to see. I want the Lord to be able to deposit in my bank account and I wake up with a check in the mail of however much I need to be debt free. I would love that. And because that's what I want, and I know that it's his will for me to be the lender and not the borrower, sometimes in all of that noise, it can be hard to hear from him, especially when he chooses to present himself as a still small voice. When we looking for the earthquake, we looking for the wind, we looking for the fire. And so the benefit of us being able to seek wise counsel is that we're able to hear the instructions of the Lord, and God is able to intervene through a physical person in a way that we can truly internalize and understand. So that was the first step that this widow was able to do. She sought wise counsel. Now, I want to qualify wise counsel. Just because somebody is a pastor, just because somebody has a title of authority in a spiritual space, does not make them wise. Just because someone may not have a title of authority in the spiritual space, that doesn't mean that they're not wise. So we have to qualify what wise counsel is, because just as God uses people, the enemy uses people as well. So we have to be able to test the spirit behind a person. Is this the Holy Spirit? Or is this not? So write this down. Here are five characteristics of wise counsel that I want you to keep in mind. One, it has to be God-centered. They have to be God-centered. So when I say wise counsel, I'm referring to both the individual and the advice that they're giving you. So first, again, it has to be God-centered. They have to be individuals who fear the Lord, and they give advice based upon that predisposition. They have to love God and you enough to where they're not just going to give you what they think, but they are going to make themselves subject to what the Lord may be saying. Because a lot of times what happens is, especially if you're asking people stuff that is in their area of expertise. So for example, if you're asking me something about podcasting, I don't have to pause and reflect too long to give you an answer. But in wisdom, even if you're asking me about podcasting, I need to, in order for me to be wise counsel, I have to be able to take what I know and make it secondary to what the Lord may be saying in that moment. Because what he may be saying to me for you may go against what works as far as the trends go. So in me being wise, I have to seek the Lord, even on subjects that I know a lot about. So for you, when you're going to people for wise counsel, they need to have that disposition where they love and respect the Lord enough. They love and respect you enough. They understand their influence enough to make sure that they're not just talking out the side of their neck or just talking based upon experience, but they are subject enough and fear the Lord enough to handle you with care, to make sure that their wisdom and what they're pouring into you is godly and not just flesh. The second characteristic of wise counsel is it has to be biblically sound. You as an individual, it is your responsibility to be well-versed in the word. I'm not saying no everything front to back of the Bible. But what I am saying is that you should be in your word enough to when somebody is speaking to you, you know whether this is or is not biblically sound. And when I say know your word enough, I mean know your word enough in context, because people manipulate scripture all the time. So you have to be in your word enough so that you can be able to know that don't sound fully correct. Like, yeah, that sounds like that, but that don't fully sound like that in context. And now if you're in a place where you're earlier in your walk, you're still figuring things out as far as studying the word, that's fine. Here's what you do. When somebody gives you counsel, say, okay, thank you. Then go back and look in the scriptures to make sure that what they're saying is biblically sound. There are so many resources that we have available to us. We have no excuse to not know the word. And it bothers me so much how people are easily manipulated, not because they don't know the word, because, you know, we all are on a journey. We're growing to understand, but because they don't want to take the time to go find out if what somebody is telling them is accurate. And that goes beyond like, oh, they said this. Oh, yes, it says that in the Bible. Yes. But what is the context around that? What does that mean in context of it, of the word itself, not in what they were saying it to you? I was having a conversation recently where there was this prophetic word that I had watched, and it was very accurate in alignment with things that the Lord has shown me and also the season that I'm in. So I sent it to a friend because we were actually talking about it recently. I'm like, this was exactly what we were talking about. And so my friend, in writing down the scriptures that the prophet was saying, she had went and studied them for herself. And then she came back to me and was like, hey, yeah, what he's saying is on point with what God is doing, but his interpretation or use of this scripture in particular is off. The prophet was using the Greek and the Hebrew words to further emphasize the point of what the Lord was saying and the scriptures that he was using to back it up. And so my friend not only fact checked the use of the scriptures, but fact checked the use of the interpretation and the words and the translations that the scriptures brought about to make sure that those were also consistent with what the Lord was saying. And in that, she realized, okay, this is a bit of a reach. This text isn't fully saying that. And he kind of misused a couple of things as it related to the Hebrew and the Greek words that he was using. And it was so, and this led to another conversation between us about how in people using the Greek and the Hebrew words to exegete text, when that's done inaccurately, that's another avenue that people use to deceive, whether intentionally or unintentionally, it happens. And so as believers, we have to be well-versed in the word in context. And a part of being well-versed in context is knowing these Hebrew and Greek words, because a lot of times things, when they're translated into English, they lose a bit of the potency, for lack of a better word, that the text has because of the limitations of our language.
This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need.
So I know that was a lot. I know that was a mouthful, but that's our responsibility as believers in general and really utilizing all the richness of the text that the Lord has given us. But it's also our responsibility in properly managing who we accept as wise counsel in our lives. So again, make sure that the wise counsel that you go to is biblically sound. The third characteristic of wise counsel that I want you to write down is that they are discerning and take into account the full picture. So Elisha was able to see, like, yes, you need your debts paid off, but you also need money to live. So the Lord was able to use him to not just meet her immediate need, but to meet the needs that were going to come in the future. So whomever you may be going to for wise counsel, they need to have discernment. They need to have the gift of discerning the spirits so they can be able to not just take into account what's happening right now, but have enough discernment to know that there's more than what meets the eye and be able to speak to that place. I believe God has blessed me greatly in the gift of discerning the spirit. So I'm able to hear something that somebody may be saying to me or asking me and see beyond that. I'm able to see to the heart of what's going on through the Lord, and I'm able to see the totality of what they may not be taking into consideration, because they may be in a space where all I can see is lack. All I can see is frustration. All I can see is my sadness and my anxiety about this situation. So there's been so many times that the Lord has used me to speak to things that go beyond what they may be presenting to me. And that is a gift from the Lord. So make sure that when you are talking to people and you're taking their advice or qualifying their advice to decide if you're going to take it or not, make sure that it takes into account the full picture. Some of that you may only know. So if they're giving you counsel that goes against something that God has told you previously, then that's not wise. If they're giving you advice that goes against what the season that God has already told you that you're in, then you need to discard that. I remember when I was getting ready to go on tour, and this was a great lesson in that for me, where I was going on tour, I was dealing with some things personally, and I talked to my wise counsel because my flesh just wanted to not go on tour, because I just could not figure out how I was going to stand in front of people, proclaim the goodness of God when I was so hurt. where I could do it, yes, but I was conflicted because I wanted to do it from a pure place. I didn't want to have to put on or put a mask on for that. So I was wrestling a bit of, should I put it off to where I'm in a space where I'm more mentally clear? Or should I walk boldly and know that even in my hurt, the Lord can still use me? But at the same time, I'm thinking like, well, I don't want to show up in my flesh. So it was all of these things that were going on in my head. And I was unable to make a clear decision because of all the emotions, right? So I do just like this woman and I go to my wise counsel. My wise counsel met all of these qualifications as a person. So they were wise in their personhood and their ability to pour into me. But the advice was not consistent with what the Lord had me on assignment to do. The advice was like, well, you know, if you got to push it back, that's okay. And that was great advice that took into account my own well-being, but it went against the assignment that God had for me because I knew that He needed me to go to these cities. And I knew that it was time to go and do that. So while yes, that advice was, the counsel was wise, the advice in particular contradicted the assignment. So I had to just take the encouragement that I got, but still move in the direction that God said. The fourth characteristic of wise counsel is they need to be in their disposition as a person. They should be humble and they should be teachable. Humility is lacking so much in people. Everybody swear they know everything. Everybody got their chest out. Everybody beating on their chest where you say something to them, they quick to snatch back. You want to be in position to be poured into by people who are humble and who are teachable. This comes up a lot, I believe, when dealing with people of the older generation, because I feel like the wise counsel that you have, you should have people who are older than you to be able to pour into you, especially as women. I believe all of us need older women to pour into us. But something that I've seen over the years is sometimes folks be stuck in their ways. And that is a red flag. And that's something that you should keep in mind, not to do away with the person as a whole, but that's something that you should keep in mind of, okay, I'm going to take this. If I'm talking to this person, I'm going to take this with a grain of salt because I know they kind of stuck in their ways and they ain't really trying to hear nothing that goes beyond that. I know they've been in church their whole life. So when I try to challenge their churchiness in times when it's not fully Christ-like, where it's cultural, but not necessarily biblically sound, they're not trying to hear that. And so I understand that. And I have to take certain things with a grain of salt. So the same thing for you. Make sure that they are humble and that they are teachable. Recently, I had a friend reach out to me where they felt like God was showing them some things in their business, but because they had, it was just some internal things that they had going on that was causing some confusion, where the enemy just had them in their head and they were unable to discern at that time, like, okay, is this me? Is this God? Like, I'm getting in my head about this and I need wise counsel. We all are getting to this position. And so she reached out to me and she was like, and told me this was going on. And she was like, as I was praying, all the Lord told me was call Tatum, ask Tatum. And she was like, I don't even know what I'm actually asking you, but that's what's happening. This is what the Lord said. And this is me being obedient by sending you this voice note. When I got it, I was very confused. I was like, God, huh? Because it might have made sense if like I was praying for her before, or maybe I had a dream or something and I already had the word. Because she was like, I don't know if God already showed you something or whatever, because she trusts, you know, how the Lord uses me and vice versa. So I was like, nah, I ain't had no dreams. No, the Lord ain't give me nothing in prayer. Okay, I just kept the message, put the phone down, went on about my day. But I said, you know, I'm going to revisit this, but I'm not going to respond until I have wisdom. And then if I don't, I'll respond and say that too. So I left it at that. I waited till like the end of the day. This was like maybe in the late afternoon. So I'm like, I'm going to wait till the kids go to bed and I'm going to seek the Lord because God, this is a lot of pressure. So after the kids went to bed, I went and I cut my worship music on. I was just praying, speaking in tongues, because I didn't want like even my own self-consciousness about an intimidation about that to taint what I say in any way. So I spent most of the time just simply speaking in tongues so that I can let the Holy Spirit intercede on my behalf and so that I can tame my flesh and lean into what the Lord was saying. And so after just worshiping and speaking in tongues for a while, I was like, okay, God, you had to reach out to me for a reason. What you got to say, essentially? And my hand couldn't write as fast as I was getting these downloads. None of these downloads made sense to me. Some a little bit because of my familiarity with my friend, but some not at all. So I'm just writing all of these things down. And after I felt like the Lord was done, I sent her back a voice note and I read through just all of the things that I was hearing. And man, when I tell y'all, I was nervous as I don't know what when I sent that. Because while I'm confident in what the Lord shares with me and I'm confident in my gifts, at the same time, I'm always in a space of humility and I'm always mind blown really of how God moves. So I waited for that message back. Man, she didn't even text me back that same day. I was like, girl, now I'm about to go to sleep stressed, thinking like, what happened? Was I accurate? Was I not? Like, is she thinking like, dang, she don't even know the Lord. What's this foolishness she sent me? So that was my mind, right? So the next day she sent me a message and was like, I had to sit on this for a second before I responded to you because so many things were on point. So she just began to show me how what I was telling her was confirmation on what God was using. But that was such a beautiful moment of humility for me. It was a beautiful moment and a teachable moment in that way for me of how God is going to use me. It also confirmed a lot of things in the direction that God has taken me in. It was confirming to my own assignment, and it also was confirming to her assignment. But the bigger lesson, aside from what I'm going to do for the Lord or what she's going to do for the Lord, the bigger lesson in that was the posture of being humble and teachable. So even as I am moving into these roles of mentorship for podcasters, as I'm pouring into women who wear many hats, as I'm doing these things, the Lord is just continuing to train me on this posture of being humble and being teachable so that I can remain wise counsel. It's very easy for people to start off wise and then go into their flesh because they get used to the way God moves. They get so boisterous of themselves because of the things that God has done and don't maintain this humble and teachable spirit. So when you are qualifying people and determining if they're wise counsel and what they're saying to you, if it's wise or not, you need to make sure that it is from a space and be able to discern if it's from a space of them being humble and them being teachable. Here are some indicators, thank you, Holy Spirit, of if this person is not moving in humility and being teachable. If they start giving you their resume, if they start saying, oh, I've been in ministry for many years and I've seen blah, 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 red flag. If they start saying, oh, man, I've been in business for X amount of time and because this, da, 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 red flag. If they start giving you transformative testimony type experiences of, man, I remember when I was in this same space and I trusted the Lord and I used this scripture and I fasted and did blah, blah, blah. And I saw this transformation. If they compound their testimony with the word of God and teach you and advise you from that space, that's a green flag. But if it's more so of like ego, if you start hearing their resume and their track record and not what the Lord has done, and this is sometimes in churchy spaces, it can be hard because people are slick about it. But just when you go to people, make sure that you pray first and you ask the Lord to show you their heart. Another way too, in this area, when you go to people for wise counsel, listen more than you speak. I'm telling you guys, when you open up the door to let people talk, they will tell you everything they need to know. I used to be insecure about being an introvert. It is one of the biggest gifts that I've had in business and in faith-based settings. Because I don't like to be the loudest person in the room and it's not my disposition to be chatty, I listen a lot. And in listening, I've noticed, and this is from spiritual stuff to marketing, to sales, to just building relationships in general. When you listen, people will tell you everything that they need to know. So when you are just dealing with people, and discerning if they are wise or not and what they're saying are wise or not, listen and let them talk, because they will let you know real fast. And then the fifth characteristic of wise counsel is experience and maturity. You do want to talk to people who've been in ministry for an extended period of time, because they have experiences that are relevant to helping you in your situation. But again, are they bragging on themselves, or are they speaking from a place of like ego, or even in their experience, they're able to make that experience subject to how the Holy Spirit is moving at that time? Again, these things are nuanced, but the Lord will allow you to see. So always stay in a place of prayer. Always stay in a place of being submitted to the Holy Spirit in all interactions, not just when you are in dire situations. Because the woman, the widow here with the jar of oil, she didn't have time to go through this five steps. Her sons was finna get picked up for slavery. She needed money and she needed it now. But because of her husband, I'm assuming because of her husband and their family's relationship with Elisha, because her husband was a part of that prophetic community, they had already discerned and qualified him to be wise counsel based upon relationship. So you determining if someone is wise counsel or not, this just happens. And this qualification process happens over the course of your relationship, so that when things hit the fan and you need that immediate help, you already know who to go to. So these are things that you keep in mind as you build relationships with people. I did not expect this to go this long. So we are only on the first part of the process for this text, and I'm going to have to break it up into different parts. But I believe this segment on wise counsel is, we had to be thorough and take this long, because I want you, before we even get to step 2 through 4 that I pull from this text, I want you to just start thinking about this as it relates to your relationships that you have and those that you're building relationships with. So let's recap the 5 characteristics of wise counsel, and then I'm going to give you some biblical examples so that you can then go back and study those too. Don't just take my word for it. Here are the 5 characteristics. 1, they're God-centered. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of who they are. 2, the counsel is biblically sound, and the counselor lives their life righteously and subject to the word. The 3rd characteristic, wise counsel is discerning and takes into account the full picture. 4, wise counsel is humble and teachable. 5, they come with experience and maturity. And again, I am saying wise counsel as the individual and the advice that they give you. So use this to qualify the person and to qualify their advice. Okay. Now, here are some biblical examples of wise counsel that you can go and study on for yourself. The first one is Moses and Jethro. That can be found in Exodus 18, 13 through 24. We talked about that a few weeks ago on the show. The second example of wise counsel is Rehoboam's advisors. That's in 1 Kings 12, 6 through 15. All of this will be in the show notes. And then the 3rd example of wise counsel is Paul and Timothy. Their relationship is my favorite to look at in the word. Paul and Timothy, and that can be found in 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7 is a good place to go. But really, I would go to both Timothys. Rehoboam's advisors were the one in 1 Kings. This one is what not to do, because he didn't listen to his wise counsel, and you'll see the impact of that. I'll include these examples in the show notes so that you can go back and study. Also, go back and study our anchor scripture here of 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. So that's it for this episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I hope this episode blessed you. If it did, leave us a 5-star review. If you want to learn more about how to work with me as your mentor and podcaster, you could click the link in the show notes to register for our open house this week. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.